Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Culinary Atlanta here on Atlanta Business Radio. I'm your host, Katie Galley, and we've got a couple great guests here in studio today, and we're still waiting on a couple more to show up. But to kick off today's show, please welcome Kelly Morvillo. Morvillo. She is the Senior Community Manager with Yelp. So how are you doing, Kelly?
I'm great, Katie. Thank you for having me here. Super excited.
Of course, yes. I'm glad.
It is Morvillo for Morvillo. Everybody out yes. there. I am like the one of maybe 20 Italians that live in in North Georgia in my area. So yeah, gotcha. Super excited.
Yeah, my family used to live up there too. So we migrated down here, but okay. Yeah, we're Italian. So,
okay,
yeah.
Very good.
There you go.
Very good. Thank you.
Made the connection.
Nice,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So what are you guys doing over there at Yelp?
Oh my gosh, we're doing so much. So like I had said before, I just celebrated my 3-year Yelp-iversary, yeah. Which is very exciting. I handle Yelp OTP Atlanta, which is outside of the perimeter for people that don't know that. And then I have a counterpart that handles ITP.
Okay.
But we really work well together, and there's so many different businesses that like to work with both of us. And but yeah, we're having a great time. Just we love what we do. We love introducing all of our Yelpers to the local businesses and just making the Yelp word spread.
Okay, well, that's awesome. So how did you determine that you needed one outside the perimeter and inside the perimeter?
That's a great question. So I always say that people that don't have kids typically live in ITP. Mm. And then when they have kids and they can't typically afford to live in ITP anymore, they move OTP. So My territory goes across so much of OTP. I mean, OTP is huge, right? So I don't do the southern part of OTP, but I handle all the northern part, Gwinnett, you know, the Cobb County area, so many different parts. So there's so many different counties in OTP. Mm-hmm. And the ages range from, you know, your 21-year-old to your 50-plus-year-olds. So it's definitely a different market, OTP.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they asked somebody of a more senior level to be out in the OTP area. I have 2 kids.
Okay.
I've lived there for over 12 years, and I know all the little great downtown suburb places of OTP. So definitely needed 2 different Yelp employees in this area.
Yeah. But even then you said, so there's, you would even over different territories outside the perimeter versus inside the perimeter. So it's breaking it up even more too.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Jonathan T is the Yelp ITP community manager, and he stays in 285. And there's a lot of different activities that you do inside the perimeter that you would do outside the perimeter. So I deal with a lot of, you know, obviously some great restaurants, different activities like we just did Andretti's, which was really fun.
Ooh.
But I also deal with Yelp families. And that's something that OTP is really expanding on.
Okay.
So we do, it's called the Little Yelpers Club.
That's adorable.
Which is really cool because I don't want my Yelpers to think that, oh, you know, it's for younger people. And no, this is for people of all ages. And if I can keep you interested in, you know, adding your content to Yelp and really being excited about events and stuff like that, I want your entire family to be involved.
Yeah.
So I have hundreds of little Yelpers like running around talking about how my mom just reviewed this really cool place. And oh my gosh, my kids, your mom works for Yelp. That's so cool. So yeah,
wow.
Really different. But we have so many different options for everybody. So it's super cool.
Yeah. So can you dive a little bit more into what exactly is Yelp and how you personally got involved in it and why it's so important to you?
Oh my gosh. So Yelp is it's an online site and a mobile app that connects people to great local businesses and not only restaurants. There's, you know, anywhere from parks to landmarks to you can simply put in the search on fun things to do with your kids.
Okay.
The way I got involved with Yelp was I've been in marketing for 10 plus years, and I'm not going to tell you how long because that's going to age me. but I was on Yelp from a business standpoint. So I worked for a franchise company, and I would teach my franchisees how to use Yelp from a free standpoint. And how to make sure that they stayed on Yelp and made sure that they looked at all their reviews and stuff like that. So I really got passionate from that side. I wanted to look into something a little bit different in my career path. So when they had posted the community manager job listing, I was like, oh my gosh, this is me. Like, this is all me. So I applied for it. It was a very lengthy process.
Oh, really?
But I can tell you that it's a dream job. It's the most fun job. My home office is my home, which is great for a mother with two children.
Yeah.
I get to meet and help local businesses, which is my passion. And I get to help them from a free standpoint. So I'm not like shoving anything down their throats. I'm teaching them how to really thrive on the app and get these Yelpers into their place. So I love my job.
Yeah, that sounds great. And like you're saying, the flexibility of it too, with being able to work at home and just offering that free aspect, really just offering help to people.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what is the Yelp Elite Squad?
It's a great question. It's the secret society.
Oh, man.
No. So the Elite Squad is made up of Yelpers that are very passionate and they are constantly contributing to the app and adding great reviews and great photos. And they're not only doing it because they're doing it from a passion about their community. They're mm-hmm. really big on local businesses and making sure that they are spreading the Yelp love, the love of the local businesses.
Okay. So how do you develop that community and foster that as the community manager? I mean, how does that work?
So there's different events that we do. So my job is to host events monthly. So I do an event that's open to all Yelpers. And then there's events that are only open to elites. So the way mm-hmm. that I get Yelpers to be excited about contributing and being more involved in the site would be to invite them to just a normal Yelp event. The last one that we had was actually the one that we have coming up is a mini golf event, which will be a little Yelpers Club event. And that's open to anybody on Yelp with a Yelp profile. And then our elite of that, that kind of introduces like, wow, like you have all these really cool events and they're for free.
Yeah.
How do I get more involved? Well, you know, the more that you are dedicated to Yelping and contribute to the site, you know, then you can nominate yourself to be an elite.
It is
a process. They go through an elite council at our headquarters.
Wow. Official.
Very, very secret society, I told you. No, but it's super cool. All of our elite Yelpers are great. I mean, they're super... really great people. They interact on and off the site. They've mm-hmm. become like friends with each other and they'll do things called unofficial Yelp events where they'll go and just gather as like a group of 20 people and they'll go to a business, like new businesses that they want to try out and things like that. So it's a friendship community as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. So from that perspective, getting to see it from, you know, the business side and people leaving reviews and being able to contribute to Yelp, and then also that real community aspect of it, how does it develop on its own? I mean, from people wanting to just, they leave reviews, they want to be in the part of the elite squad. How have you seen that growth?
It's so heartwarming to me. Like I tell all my colleagues, you know, this is not just a job for me. I have fallen in love with like all my entire squad. Like these are some of the nicest people that you ever want to meet. So when there's a brand new elite, maybe somebody that's never been to an elite event and you walk into an event and they're like, you know, they deer in the headlights, they have no idea what's going on.
Right.
I have watched tenured elites walk up to them and be like, hey, I'm Kelly. Great to meet you. I'm so excited that you're here. You know, and it's just watching those friendships and those relationships are just grow. And it's so heartwarming to me. So I love it. I absolutely love the friendships. I love how we have a series, they do UIEs that visit all the local waterfalls and they'll do hikes and things like that.
Wow.
And that's made up from elite Yelpers. That has nothing to do with me. It's all these elites that are just like, hey, let's check out what OTP has to offer. And we know Kelly can't do like 500 events a month and we really want to get together more often. So let's just figure out stuff for ourselves. And they do that. And it's the coolest thing. It really is.
That's great. And it fosters the community and it builds up, you know, outside the perimeter, inside the perimeter, you get to see different things.
Yep.
That's great. So do you have, I mean, that waterfall event, that sounds great, but you have like a more personal experience maybe that you've had or a personal story, just seeing this community building unfold in your own work?
Well, what I can tell you is, so for the past 3 years when I joined, my biggest challenge was to spread the Yelp word in OTP.
Okay.
I live in Woodstock.
Oh, wow.
And in the little suburb of Woodstock, I have so many friends that will, you know, Facebook is a place that you just want to go and just scream things, right? Like, this was great or this was horrible. Okay. There's a site out there that if things are great and you want to look at different reviews and stuff, do you know about Yelp? Well, no, Kelly, I have no idea about Yelp. So So I've really been able to just voice the Yelp word in OTP. So to see it grow as much as it has since in the 3 years that I've been here mm-hmm. is super exciting for me. And then as far as the Little Yelpers Club, when I got to know my squad and the different ages of my squad, my first Little Yelpers Club event that I threw was at Andretti's, and they were allowed to bring their kids. And I will never forget, a review was left and it made me cry because this was one of our longtime Yelpers. And he's like, I've been a Yelper for how many years and I've never been able to bring my children. And Yelp is such a big part of my life that being able to share this with my kids has opened up such a new area that has made me just more passionate about Yelp. We're so excited about it. So just to see the feedback that we're getting and the things that we're doing that's great.
Yeah.
I love that. And even from a business standpoint, I love to talk to businesses about how I can help them from a CM standpoint. And, you know, I'm not, like I said before, it's not shoving things down their throat. It's really explaining to them the benefit of having these Yelpers in there and allowing them to showcase their best thing that they have to offer yeah. right to these Yelpers, right to the people that are going to be back to their business. So it's very passionate for me. I'm very yeah. passionate about my job.
And that comes through in the fact that you have, I mean, the background that you have and you come from the perspective of you have a family, you have kids, you can see when these stories come in, they really touch you because you have that perspective.
They do.
Yeah, that's incredible. Well, I love hearing everything that you're doing
Thank
and everything
you.
About Yelp. So if somebody wanted to learn more about you, about Yelp, where would they do that?
www.yelp.com/ATLOTP. Yelp OTP. Yelp OTP.
Yelp OTP. Okay.
Yes, Yelp OTP. And you can just go on Yelp and you'll find the different communities. And, you know, if you're in OTP and you'd like to check out events in Atlanta, all you have to do is go on the Yelp event page.
Okay.
And it shows all the different events that Jonathan and I are doing. It shows events that I'm working with Sky with, which is great.
Yeah.
Love Taste of Atlanta.
Thank you.
Shameless yeah. plug.
Yeah, just a little plug for them. Yeah. But yeah, just go on Yelp and we have so many different things. Just a couple other things. Like I said before, it's not only restaurants. This is things that you can do with your kids. Fun places to do outside things, different landmarks. And yeah, we have a couple different things. We're even starting with Yelp Cashback, which is really cool. And then you can request a quote for different, let's say you need your house painted or you need something to do like that. So yeah, there's, I definitely challenge everybody to go and check out all the different things on the site that are super useful. And yeah, hook me up, Kelly M, yelp.com.
Well, thanks so much, Kelly. Thanks so much for providing all this insight.
Thank you for having me.
Well, great. And so next up on Atlanta Business Radio's Culinary Atlanta, if you don't mind sticking around, listening
I'm right
to some
here.
More guests.
I'm not
yeah.
going anywhere.
And there was a little plug to someone else who's in the studio today with us, Miss Sky from Taste of Atlanta. Hey, Sky, how are you?
Hello, Katie. So excited to be here. I'm great.
We're happy that you're here. So who did you bring with you today?
So today I have a great guest. His name is Jeff Malconian, and he owns not only Breadwinner Cafe and Bakery, but Farm to Ladle. And Breadwinner is going to be a part of Food That Rocks. So we have a lot to talk about Ooh. Today. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, so yes. Jeff, tell us a little bit about what you do over at Breadwinner.
So Breadwinner was a kind of an accidental business to start out with. We really were looking to do something. I was in the music business for a long time, and we were looking for something to do that was kind of a family event of some sort. And long story short, we started baking pumpkin breads. And my sister at the time worked at Super Jenny, and we started selling them there. And honestly, it took off from there. We started creating all kinds of other flavors of sweet quick breads. We got on a segment on Food Network. Oprah Magazine did chose us as a one of her favorite things. And it wow. honestly, it became a national thing very quickly for us that we just didn't see happening. And it was really cool. And so we, about 5 years into the baking business, we decided we wanted to venture onto the restaurant side. And, you know, of course we did the smart thing and you know, sunk money we didn't have into a into a business during the recession in 2009.
Always a great idea.
Highly
recommended.
Which, you know, in looking back, it was actually a really great move, just because we got into our first restaurant space at a great time, at a great rate, a great price, and we offered a very affordable meal, and focused on soup, salads, and sandwiches, and it worked. And it on day one, we had over 200 people in our restaurant, and it was a lot of in all fairness, we opened in Sandy Springs, which is where I grew up and knew tons of people, and my mom was a big advertiser for us, so we word of mouth got a lot of people through the door, but they kept coming back and they kept bringing people, and I don't think Yelp was around at the time to help.
We're here now.
Exactly. So back then we really weren't using social media because it wasn't a thing yet for restaurants. But, we let this grow, and I was always, a food person. I'm not a chef. I'm not a trained chef. And honestly, everybody that works in all my kitchens is way more talented than I am. But that's also kind of been our MO with businesses, is saying, okay, we can do this, but there's people that can do it better than us, or do it more efficiently than us, whether it's literally cooking a soup, or baking a bread, or running the finances for the company, or doing social media for our company. It's like, yeah, we can do all these things, but there's people that really are passionate about those individual things and are better at it than we are. And we've just been good at hiring the right people. And, between the three restaurants now, we have Breadwinner Cafe in Sandy Springs. And then we have Farm Toledo at Ponce City Market and Farm Toledo at Avalon. Ooh. And, between the three restaurants, we have over 60 employees, and we've created this great environment for them to have a fun, safe place to work where they eat well and they have food to bring home to their families. And we have a lot of longtime employees that we've now dubbed as legacy employees. My accountant doesn't love seeing my payroll saying, well, why is this person making so much money? Like, well, they've been with us for 8 years. I can't
that's
just get
amazing.
Rid of them because they're making too much money. But so anyway,
that's how you keep them.
It is. It's right. True. Yeah.
And that's awesome.
Yeah. And to the point, like what Kelly was saying before about building community, how you even generated word of mouth and fostering that relationship within the community itself, and then people loving what you do.
Right.
So how did you grow from Breadwinner to Farm to Ladle? What's the difference, and how did you kind of create those?
Well, good question. Farm to Ladle came about because we were in what year was that? 2015. We were in 2014. We were ready to look into our next location. We were having growing pains. We knew we wanted to do something else. We felt like we had 5 good years of running Breadwinner and getting to know ourselves better, our concept, the flow of everything. And so right around the same time, they were filling the food hall at Ponce City Market, and one of their brokers came to us and said, this is what we're looking for. Is this of interest? And it was, and we never really looked back. But part of the process with the food hall at Ponce City Market opening was that they wanted all experienced restaurateurs, so at least one restaurant under your belt, but a first to market name. So everything you see in Ponce City Market is the first of that name. So you have some heavy hitters in there, like Linton Hopkins and Ann Quintrano and Jonathan Waxman, but these are the restaurants they have there. There is no other, or there was no other at the time when they opened, of the same name. So we, of course, they said, we love Breadwinner, we want you to do this, but you have to have a new name. So that's kind of what happened. So like, all right, well, I guess that's the, that's the price we're going to pay for. And it gave us an opportunity also to kind of think down the road, even in terms of branding and marketing. And as much as we love the name Breadwinner, it's synonymous with Sandy Springs, and it's synonymous with the baking side of what we do, and now the cafe side. Farm to Ladle just became more of a brand that we felt like we could grow more effectively by the name, by the logo, the concept of it. And so as we grew into Avalon and whatnot, we just decided to keep that brand as our future So we'll see. We'll see what happens with more locations.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. And I had no idea that at Pond City you had to have that original name to go in there. That's pretty interesting. I didn't know that.
It's funny. Like, how did, I mean, Holman and Finch, I guess, really got off on a, some kind of exception with H&F Burger instead of calling it Holman and Finch. It's really a mystery brand there.
Well, they did. And they were already had the H&F Burger at the old Turner Field.
Yeah,
right.
But technically it wasn't a, you know, restaurant because it was only there during baseball
like a stand
games.
Right. And a pop-up only for part of the year. But
and maybe, you know, maybe when you're Linton Hopkins, you can get away with a few things here and there.
Gosh, but what about when you're Jeff? I mean, probably on your next location. When you went to Avalon, it was probably an easier thing or no? How did it go switching from two locations to three?
That was, you know, people say the same thing about going from two kids. I only have two kids. So I can't speak of it, but to your point here about the OTP, it's a totally different market.
Totally.
I mean, it is, you know, Sandy Springs is kind of an anomaly in that we're there. We live a mile from the restaurant. Our kids go to school there. Just everything we do is in the community. So we had a lot of a customer base to build on. But, and then with Pont City Market, it's this like really hip in town, but it's also kind of pulling from all over all the different neighborhoods. And we definitely catered our menu towards we sell a lot of vegan food down at Pont City Market.
Oh, that's really interesting to know.
A lot of healthier options. And then, we opened up at Avalon and it was like this and nothing against Alpharetta. It's
no
been
more
great.
Vegan food. Totally, yeah.
But it is a completely different market. And I felt like, you know, for a while we were really chasing what it was they were. And you know, you want to grow a business to where, like, for an example, you go to say a Panera. You know that wherever you stop at Panera in Columbia, South Carolina or Raleigh, North Carolina, it's gonna be the same menu.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we're like, but we're trying to figure out what it is. Our direction is here, and we got Ponce that is so, you know, earth friendly and vegan and all this. And then we got, you know, up in Alpharetta where it's not as much, and it's just kind of all over the place with what they're wanting. But I think, you know, it just took us longer to really figure out what that crowd was going after. And you know, in the first phase of Avalon, we still are kind of the only one doing what we're doing, which is a lot of fresh salads and everything homemade and sandwiches and soups. Nobody's really doing up there what we're doing. So.
I have some ideas for you.
We're going to get together.
I already have some ideas for you.
Perfect. Look forward to it. Perfect.
Yeah. And that's crazy though. I mean, I seriously never even considered the fact that in just three different places in Georgia, I mean, not that far from each other, would have totally different just wants as far as a restaurant goes. So how did you anticipate that? How did you really get on the front end of that when you moved from Pond City, Avalon? I mean, it's Sandy Springs, I mean, originating here. Mm-hmm. How did you get on the front end of that and kind of, I guess, roll with the punches once you realized it?
That's a good question. We
still working on it.
Yeah, still working, still developing.
Every day is a work in progress. Yeah. Even at Breadwinner, where we've been a business for 11 years. We've had the restaurant for 8 years. We just, even today, the smallest things will happen that you're like, this is a problem we should have had on day one. Why are we having it, you know, 8 years in?
And
it's just the nature of business. I think for any, it's not just restaurant businesses. It's all businesses. And to stay ahead of it, you know, I just had a conversation with one of my employees before I got over here about, and she was saying, oh, it's so easy to do that. We're doing Foodsby, which is right across the hall here.
Yeah.
It's one of our, in both Breadwinner and Alpharetta. And we were training one of our employees at Breadwinner on the deliveries. And she's like, oh, it's so easy. It's like, it's easy until it's not. It's you still have to, you had an easy delivery day today, but you got to anticipate traffic. You got to anticipate, this drop isn't just in the lobby. It's up on the 10th floor in the mail room. And, you know, and that's going to throw you off by 10 minutes. And so just as an example, little things like that, that really, you just got to be thinking ahead. You got to be planning ahead and you can never do enough of it. So I don't know if that answers your question, but
it does.
It's just a lot of moving parts and in our business.
Yeah. So it's not even just from the food aspect. It's from all aspects of the entire business looking at it.
Sure.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a huge thing and a huge sign of success in a restaurant that you're actually open to change and you're listening to your consumers and moving along and growing with them instead of just, this is our menu. This is what we're doing. Right. We're not changing. When you do that, there's no, you're not going to be able to succeed because you're not growing.
Right. Mm-hmm. To a fault sometimes too. We have a kitchen employee who would get into a conversation with a customer and says, oh, when are you going to make that gumbo again? And well, it's not on the make list until like 3 weeks from now. And she's like, I'll make it tomorrow and I'll have it ready on Wednesday. And it's like changes the whole,
wow.
For one cut, you know, it's like, okay, I'm glad we do stuff like that, but you know, it's like, there are, to your point, there's a lot of places that's not going to happen. And we sometimes do it a little too much.
Now everybody knows about that though.
Exactly.
Well, that's for the gumbo. So we do.
Yeah. Well, we're so excited to have Breadwinner Cafe and Bakery at Food That Rocks this year.
Yep.
On Saturday, June 9th in City Green and City Springs, the all Sandy Springs restaurant event. Do y'all know what you're making it?
Gumbo.
Gumbo sounds real good right now.
Now I want gumbo.
We, you know what? We might do it. We're it usually is weather related. If it's going to be a really hot day or evening, we'll probably go towards something like our gazpacho or one of our salads.
I saw that as an option. Yeah. Gazpacho is a great choice too.
I'm thinking gazpacho is probably going to be on the menu, but we'll see. It might be a dessert. We haven't figured out what that menu is going
to
be yet.
You can bring both. Like, I won't say no to your breads. They're so good. Oh, and the cookies and the brownies too. I'll eat anything honestly. Yes.
Well, thanks.
So how did you guys develop a relationship, Taste of Atlanta and Breadwinner?
You know, I don't think we've worked together before. We've never done Taste of Atlanta.
So you're giving me your first year.
Yeah. Yes. Well, did y'all, I started working at Taste of Atlanta and Food That Rocks last year. So did you do Food That Rocks the first year or no?
No, we haven't. I was trying to think back before today, why we hadn't. And every time it's been a conflict of dates
or scheduling.
And this came up with it being, it's June 9th this year. And it's literally across the street from the restaurant. And we were able to kind of adjust some things to make it happen. So we're really
excited.
It'll
be worth it.
I know,
it is way more fun than it can even be shown in pictures. Like it is a great time.
Exactly.
I guess this is our first year really working together and hopefully we start that relationship strong at Food That Rocks.
Well, it's neat too, because we've been very involved with the development of the city too. And I've been on the Heritage Sandy Springs board and really followed closely with the city council people and the mayor with City Springs, which they've done a really incredible job with. I mean, they've really delivered on everything they've talked about. But for this year, for Food That Rocks to be literally in the middle of what all this is built up to be, this great city center.
Yes.
It's nice to have that. You're not just putting it in a park here or a park there. It's where it's supposed to be.
This is the real deal.
Absolutely.
Event. It's the first event in the City Green and City Springs. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
It's going to be over the top.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Get ready.
We're so excited. Yeah. Yes. So what can we expect at Food That Rocks?
Well, besides Breadwinner bringing maybe gazpacho and more, which I'm already getting hungry for, we'll have about 20 other Sandy Springs restaurants. And they're like the creme de la creme of Sandy Springs. And as Jeff knows and Kelly knows and probably everybody in this room knows, Sandy Springs restaurant community is growing so much. Like, if you look back when you started Breadwinner, it's a whole different landscape of food. So we're trying to just give support to those restaurants that are coming into the Sandy Springs community and teaching our audience at Food That Rocks, here's where you should go out to eat. These are the best places. Take note, try it, and then go back and try it again and make it a regular part of your routine.
Yep.
So we'll have those 20 plus restaurants from Sandy Springs. We'll have beer, wine, and cocktail samples all included in your ticket.
Nice.
Live music, a DJ, just a whole lot of fun. Just so much fun. Katie, you're going, right?
Of course I'm going.
Okay, great. I'm going to put you on the spot like that. You have to be there.
Obviously, I have to be there. But yeah, I'm super excited because it is true. It's easy to kind of fall into a rut of going to the same places all the time. So if you have an event like this and you're able to kind of really see and live in the town, the city that you live in, and, you know, see the different places you can go. I mean, it's a great, they're all kind of in this one hub.
Absolutely. And sometimes it turns into something like, let's say somebody's a Panera addict, mm-hmm. and then they try Breadwinner and it's their first time for some weird reason. Maybe they just couldn't get in the door because the lines are crazy, which, I mean, I'll wait in line for as long as it takes to get Breadwinner. I really will. But usually you get through the line very quickly. But you can convert people that usually have a certain routine to start liking your restaurant and add that into their runaround. And then also just the discovery of the brand new spots that are hitting the mm-hmm. area is really cool.
Yeah, that's really exciting.
You know, we've got, we also, the speaking of the restaurants that were here, what, 10 years ago when we opened.
Yeah.
There are several still, and all of us, we know each other well. We work together. We trade out gift cards constantly. So we eat in each other's restaurants.
And
and Jason Sheets over at Hammocks.
He's the best. Yeah.
And the Cork Tree and Jeff Trump at Brooklyn's good friend and Glenn at Slopes. And we all kind of look out for each other and really, you know, constantly borrowing from each other ingredients or to go boxes or whatever. And of course, getting on the text thread of the health inspector was just here.
Oh my gosh. I know. I heard he was around last week. Oh no, God. 2 weeks ago. I went to Chef Rob's and he's like, oh God, I've been sweating all morning. Like, but I mean, they went with flying colors, but he was just like, I just had to sweat a lot earlier.
We all kind of watch out for each other.
That is so fun. But that is such a cool aspect too. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we try to provide with our events. Food That Rocks, Taste of Atlanta, mm-hmm. Southern Wing Showdown is this chef camaraderie, this community, mm-hmm. either the people that already know each other and the chef just like bonding that happens at these events. I can't even explain it. People that haven't met but have eaten at their restaurants or anything. It's just creating those connections and also showcasing the chefs and having that sometimes you're not in the front of the house. You're mm-hmm. probably not most of the time. And being able to connect with the people that come through the door at Breadwinner mm-hmm. and having those conversations is something really unique to our events too. Mm-hmm.
That's great. And I love hearing, to what we've all spoken about before, you know, the community building and just learning so much about where we actually live. And I mean, to your point, not just about restaurants, but businesses in general and what Yelp provides and mm-hmm. everything. So if we want us to learn more about Taste of Atlanta and, Food That Rocks, everything that's coming around the sky, where would we do that?
Well, you should follow us on social media.
Of course.
At Taste of Atlanta and then tasteofatlanta.com. For Food That Rocks, go to foodthatrocks.org. Follow us on social media as well. Food That Rocks ATL. Our Twitter is SS Food That Rocks, but you can find foodthatrocks.org.
Got it. And Jeff, how about you? Where could we learn about Breadwinner?
You know, the best way to keep up with Breadwinner and Farm to Ladle both are on our Instagram pages and our Facebook. And I know we're doing Twitter now as well. Our website doesn't change a whole lot. It's more of kind of a landing spot. Here's our menu. We do put the daily specials up on our website, but we're pretty good about doing everything on our social media as well.
Okay. So, well, great.
Pretty easy to find.
Yeah. Searching follow you guys both on social media.
Yeah.
Yes.
And can you still get tickets for Food That Rocks?
Yes. They are actually going on sale next week. So it's going to be like fast acting, buy your tickets now. Yeah. So get excited. They're coming on sale next week. And if you want to go ahead and sign up for our e-newsletter, that'll really help you so that I can send you e-newsletters giving you updates and information about tickets.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much, guys. Always, you're amazing. And thanks, Jeff, for everything.
My pleasure. Yeah. Thank you.
So we just have one more guest. Well, two more guests here on Culinary Atlanta. So Seven, you're back in studio with us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How is everyone? I know you guys can't answer, but I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. So you're representing both Pokeberry and Handpicked Atlanta today?
Is that true? I think so.
You guess so? Yeah.
I guess I'm always representing Pokeberry everywhere I go, especially when I'm in the supermarket, the middle of the street, and people yell, sushi guy. So I guess
they recognize you.
I'm always Pokeberry, and today I'm also representing Scout Mob and Handpicked today.
Okay, well, great. So who did you bring with you today?
Today we actually have two very accomplished chefs here. I want them to kind of talk about themselves, of course, but they are actually our neighbors at Wisukisuki. You guys should come in and try them if you haven't yet. They do amazing bows and they're opening a big fancy restaurant soon.
Well, great. So it's Tanya and Michael. Welcome, guys.
Whoa.
Yeah, you guys can lean on in there. Yeah, get close. So what are you guys doing over there for folks?
Our food, I guess, would be best described as Asian fun fare. So like we basically just take Asian influences with local ingredients and just kind of turn it all around and then use a little bit of creativity and imagination. And what you get is an end result of fun snacks.
Yeah. So how did you guys get started in this business?
Actually, my first job was in food service and I just never left. Most people have like, you know, horror stories of their first job. Like, oh, I flipped hamburgers for a summer. Well, I started flipping hamburgers and I just kept going right on up.
Wow.
And then
I always tell them they should know better. Yeah. They keep starting things anyway. But no, they actually have a really good work experience. And part of, I think, why John Anderson wanted them to come so they could talk about all the amazing people they work for and places they work at.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey to get to this point. You don't really realize when you go to a place like the work that goes into a chef's journey, I guess you would call it. I started at White Castle. That was my first job.
Yes.
If anybody's ever been there.
Yum, yum, yum.
Good
then,
deal.
Then I graduated to Starbucks. And then after that, I went to culinary school and I worked at a 5-star restaurant back in my hometown of St. Louis called Tony's. And then So at that point, I was like, well, I've worked at the best restaurant in my town. So then I went and worked at the best hotel in my town. That was Ritz-Carlton.
Wow.
Then did that. Then went to Europe, came back, and then just traveled all over America, like learning, growing, getting yelled at. Until the point where we were in New York for 5 years. And then I worked for John George Group. And then I worked for a couple of big hotels. And then we moved down to Atlanta. And Tanya, that's where I met Tanya. I met her in New York. And then
In New Jersey.
Sorry, yeah. We met in Jersey.
Yeah, I'm from Jersey.
Me too. Me too.
Three.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Sorry, Sky.
Yeah, I mean,
all right. I'm a Southern girl and I'm okay
with
it.
It's all right. Just own it. Own it.
So then after that, you know, where else are you going to meet somebody besides work? So we decided, you know, we really love each other. So let's get married. And that was it.
For me, I'm Filipina, so I grew up in Manila. I think I started cooking when I was 13. I grew up in my grandpa's kitchen, and he had 5 cooks, so I was there just cutting green beans and peeling potatoes. So I decided to go to culinary school when I was 22 and went to CIA in Hyde Park, New York. Graduated and went to Arizona. Michael said, I'll go with you. I said, okay, let's go. So after that, we went to New York. Gordon Ramsay was hiring. So Michael said, why don't you go? Just go for it. So I applied the day of my stage. The chef said, when can you start? And then I said, today, right now. So I worked for Gordon Ramsay for 5 years in New York.
Wow.
And moved to Atlanta. And now we're here with Machine. So
why Atlanta? What brought you down here?
A friend of ours was telling us, you know, you need to get out of basically get out of the industry. You know, you guys work too hard. You know, you need to have a life. So why don't you come try doing, you know, this healthcare side. So like we moved to Newnan, Georgia, which is way down south. We tried, we did healthcare. We opened Cancer Treatment Centers of America. We were the opening staff for that.
Oh my gosh,
we
really?
We
did it for 5 years. Our chef said that he wanted to change food in the hospital and give patients a better quality meals because it's part of their healing.
Wow.
Especially with cancer patients. So I said, where is Newnan? But we moved there and made the menu and provided, you know, better food for cancer patients and their families. So we did that for 5 years. And we decided that we wanted, I said, I you know, we can really cook good. So maybe we should just work for ourselves. And we have a concept called Braise. Actually, Mushini. I don't know if this is accurate or not, but it's the direct translation of Braise is Mushini. So that's like the Asian counteract of our original concept. So,
okay. And how did you guys, I mean, why the Cancer Center Treatments of America? What was that like being on the opening staff of that and just having the opportunity to cook food and really contribute in that way?
It was a great experience for me, maybe not from a culinary perspective, but from a human perspective. Because before, you know, how you see chefs on TV, they're like a little crazy. And I was definitely in that mold. And it was just moving down to Atlanta, being around really genuinely sweet people and seeing that, you know, food is not just about cooking for people who are rich, but people who, you know, really need to eat this for nutritional and sustenance reasons was a game changer for me as far as a human being.
Yeah. And how did that go into then when you guys decided you wanted to open up Mushini and you wanted to open up your own restaurant? How did that help kind of frame that and push you forward into that?
Well, I think from a non-culinary perspective, it helped me realize that, you know, quality of ingredients is extremely important. Mm-hmm. Then just partnering with local farms to try to get like the best ingredients that we could, but still cook food that's fun was part of it. Yeah. Cause I think if we just gone with like, you know, cheap ingredients, just thrown it together like fast food style, it wouldn't have the love and we wouldn't be as successful as we are.
Yeah.
Right now, if you look at our menu, people are surprised that we have quinoa in our bowl. So we try to have balance between, you know, having that nutrition side of food and, you know, not junk food, but fun food. So we try to balance everything out and give people more options. When I was in the hospital, working for the hospital, I became vegan. I'm 6 years now in July. So I said, I'll represent the people who don't eat meat because you don't really see what they need until you are a vegan or, you know, plant-based diet person. So right now, when you go to Mushini, you'll have options and you'll be surprised that it's actually good food.
So it's good vegan food. Yeah. as working at the Cancer Center Treatment, was that really kind of fostered that within you, the desire to help people and deliver that healthy food on your menus?
Yes, because we really realized before food was just when people go to the restaurant and you give 110% of everything that you've got, everything needs to be perfect in every single plate. And still they're not happy. When we work for the hospital, it's just very, very simple comfort food. I always remember the movie Ratatouille when the guy ate the, the ratatouille. He had all these visions when he was a kid. So when we cook for ourselves at home, it's always, you know, what my mom cooked for me, what my grandma cooked for me. So we try to bring that to Mushini. Because everybody has their memories. And when you hit that spot, you know, we always go back to our roots and say, you know, how are we going to have our food and reflect who we are and where we came from? So,
wow. I love that. And I love the ratatouille reference. It's good. It puts it in perspective because I understand what you're saying. You know, having that experience, having it transport you to a simpler time, I guess, earlier in your life. Mm-hmm. So from the time that you guys founded Mushini and what is that it grown to be and where do you see it going from here?
We were just talking about this yesterday. Like, okay, we have this good concept. We have like a good following now. Like, where are we going to take it? And hopefully we'll be able to grow it into another place. We'd love to have another spot. But right now we're just so focused on providing quality for our guests. Like we change the menu every week. Which drives some people crazy. It drives a lot of people crazy. Like,
we did that for a long time. We don't anymore.
Like, we're such and such. And I was like, oh yeah, it's gone. You know, because our food is seasonal. So it's like, even though it's Asian fun food, we call it fun. We almost call it compared to like takeout. it's still seasonal. It's still fresh. So like, yeah. If something's not available, we don't get it. We don't like go hunt for it. We just go on to the next thing.
Wow. But yeah. Seasonal versus, I mean, weekly, you change your menu every week. Like really?
Yeah, we change something out every week, especially like, you know, chicken is chicken. How can you guys serve the how can you eat the same chicken thing like every week? You know, so chicken probably gets changed out the most. And we always try to have like a good seafood option that changes out constantly. This next week coming up, we have duck 3 different ways. You know, for a food stall, that's it's a lot of work, but it's worth it because if you're tired of looking at it on the menu, trust me, we're tired of cooking it.
Mm, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'm so surprised, but Michael is like last night we were prepping and he said, oh, I want to have duck. I said, really? It's like 9 o'clock. No, I want to make this right. But I see his passion in, you know, every single thing that he does. And sometimes I say, you know, this person really loved the octopus. We can't have the octopus not in the menu next week. But you'll be surprised when people come in and they say, oh, this is also good. So we try to expand their taste buds. And so they're not really limited to one. And it makes Mushini really interesting. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny too, because I mean, I know it's easy to fall into, you go to your favorite takeout restaurant or you go to your favorite restaurant and you order the same dish every time. And so you guys are creating that atmosphere where you try different things every time. Mm-hmm. So where does that desire come from? Are you saying you want to just try different things? And did someone come to you one day and say that they wanted to try something new? Or I mean, why did you guys, what's the desire to change the menu so frequently?
Just comes from basically like, you know, we love our customers, so we want them to expand their palates and we want to challenge them to try new things. So maybe there are ingredients that are expensive, like, oh, I couldn't afford that. You know what I mean? But if you get it in a small bite, like, why not, you know?
Yeah.
Why not go for it? And sometimes we have to eat that cost. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like sometimes we have ingredients that are expensive, like we want to have foie gras. And I'm going to have to eat that cost coming up.
I hope you eat it, Michael. Yeah. I'm right next door.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm going to have to absorb that cost. But at the same time, I want to make it fun.
Yeah.
I want more than anything, I want people to come back and, you know, or tell their friends, you know, I had something new. Like, because that's what eating is about. You know what I mean? Like having those new experiences when you go out.
Yeah.
Even we have like these exotic drinks in the cooler. Like they're just canned drinks, but they're like an apple soda from Taiwan. I'm like, just try it. If you don't like it, just bring it back and get whatever you want. Because at the end of the day, it's about having something new.
Yeah, I love that. That's great. And how difficult then is it to come up with these new dishes weekly?
It's not. We get inspiration from other chefs as well. And the stuff that we cooked before, like we have the cauliflower bang bang right now. People are surprised, like, is that chicken? It's like, no, it's cauliflower. So they try it and, you know, they like it more than, you'll be surprised that they like the cauliflower more than eating chicken.
Wow.
It's difficult in terms of keeping up with the menu because sometimes he changes something and he doesn't tell me. It's like, when is this? Oh, it's starting tomorrow. I said, okay, that's fine. But I think our creativity just drives us every week to have something different. And people who go to Misukisuki and Mushini and Pokeberry every day, you know, sometimes they go there every day. If it's the same thing every day, then I bet they'll be tired of the menu, but so we change it.
Yeah.
So there's something interesting every day.
Yeah. And to that point too, as a husband and wife team, what challenges do you guys face as business partners and just, I mean, in general, I mean, developing these new recipes and just in every aspect of your work?
Well, Ty and I, like I said earlier, we met at work, so I already knew.
Right.
Like when you work with somebody 18 hours a day, you know, 16, 18 hours a day, you already seen them at their worst. You know? You know what I mean? So like, there's nothing at home that I haven't seen at work and vice versa. You know? So pretty much at this point, we're just immune to like, you know, each other's, you know, outburst or whatever.
Yeah.
We just kind of roll with it. One person is always the adult, which is good no matter what.
Yeah. Someone has to be the adult. Yeah, that's good.
If I'm not being the adult, she'll be the adult or vice versa.
And so does it help too that your passions are so intricately entwined together. So it's what you do every day as business owners also and just in your personal life too, because it's so intertwined. Does it make it easier for both those relationships?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's great because we both have the same goal of, you know,
yeah,
providing great food to our guests and giving them new experiences at a reasonable price. So
yeah, absolutely.
That's pretty much what we're about. And
yeah, we, I always tell Michael, you know, what we always do is cook. All we do is, so I think that love for cooking and food and making people happy with our food is our shared passion. So we change our personality when we go to work. So we just like, you know, click that switch and, you know, we're at work. But sometimes, you know, sometimes you always check on your other half, like, are you okay? But sometimes you forget that Michael is my husband. He, I always see him as like my coworker. And then, you know, when we go home, it's like, oh, he's my
husband.
Switches
back on.
Yeah, right, right.
Katie, can I ask them a question?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Michael, who is tofu and who is bacon?
Those are two dogs. And obviously, Tanya's a
doing
vegan,
your research.
And I'm not. So one dog is named after her, our baby girl, Tofu.
Oh.
And they're English Bulldogs.
And they're English Bulldogs.
Well, I noticed them. You have, first of all, you have beautiful Yelp pictures on your Yelp page. And they also have five-star review.
Yeah.
Five-star reviews. But yeah, I have English Bulldogs too. So you need to go and vote for who is cuter, Tofu or Bacon.
Yeah. And actually, it was funny. Yeah, that's our tip jar. It's just, it was like a joke at first. We're like, let's just do this for a week. And then one lady ripped $1.50.
Oh,
my gosh.
She's like, I can't decide. She was like an old lady. She just ripped $1.50 and put it in. So that dollar is taped back together and it lives in the tip jar now. So,
I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Oh, my
gosh. It's Michael's lucky dollar.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought I lost it today. I was like freaking out looking through all my singles like, oh, here it is.
That's so much fun.
That's amazing. Yeah, I love that. Has it brought you much luck, that lucky dollar?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Business has really picked up since that lady tore that dollar.
That's awesome. So if somebody wanted to learn more about what you guys are doing, where would they do that?
You know, obviously you could go on all our social media accounts. We're on there. A great thing that we have going on is with Handpicked Atlanta. It's a sampler item. You get one snack, which is anything from our appetizer menu, and then three of our bows, which are, I best describe them as Asian style sliders to anybody who doesn't know.
Okay.
And then you get a drink with that as well. And it's a pretty good deal. It's $11. You can just come try it out. It's great. If not, if you hate it, then you can just tell me and then I'll give your money back. I don't know. And
I
always
that.
Tell people that, like, they're like, I don't know if I want to try it. It's like, you know, they're like kind of like looking because we have samples out of everything. Like we make like real live display samples every day. And they're like kind of looking like, I don't know. And like, and they're like touching the bread.
Oh,
and I'm
God.
Like, you know, if just try it, you know, if you don't like it, you can have your money back. It's risk free. So you might as well just go for it. And,
wow. Yeah. And so I bet you've developed quite a following. I mean, with that kind of culture that you've developed, people just loving to come back and just knowing what they're going to get, knowing if they don't like it, they can get something else.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So it's mushini.net. That's where you can go to.
Yeah, that's our website. Yeah. I haven't updated in a while. But yeah, come visit us at the Collective. I mean, we're so grateful to work next to Seven and Ken at Pokeberry. They've really taught us a lot about the business side of it. And then, of course, Q, she's a great entrepreneur, the owner of Wisuki Suki itself.
Mm.
So like us, Mushini and Amal, our neighbor, we're the two new ones. We kind of like go in there and like, you know, it's like learning all over again, being a kid.
Yeah.
Learning from people who are really good at it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Share our love of cooking.
Yeah. And that you get to, you know, be in that atmosphere and be surrounded by other restaurant owners and just learning there.
Right.
Yeah. That's great. You have anything, Tani, you want to add?
No, we're just, we're there. It's Michael and myself. And it's a great experience for us because we really, before we usually hide in the kitchen, you know, there's complaints and we go out. But now it's face to face and we get to see the community and get to know everybody. I'm really good in faces, but not really good in names. So I apologize if I don't remember your name when you come visit. But yeah, if you have any suggestions that you want us to have on the menu, just let us know and we'll make sure that it's pretty good. We're working on a project where we want every bao to be individualized, not, you know, so if we get to have the time to do it and the labor available, then that's our goal right now, to be Bibao place in Atlanta.
So. Ooh, looking forward to that. Yeah. Well, thanks guys so much. Seven, if anybody wanted to learn more about you, about Pokeberry, Lifting Noodles Ramen, where would they go?
Well, right now I want to say go to at Taste of Atlanta and visit their page and vote for us. We are in the running to win a free booth this year. So if you guys want to see us at Taste of Atlanta, go there and vote right now.
Yes, the booth is open. I mean, the contest for the free booth is open all this week. And Pokeberry is one of the top contenders in restaurants. But just saying, it's really, well, no, we got it to the top nine. Oh, y'all missed the first vote. Sorry. But
we didn't realize that someone nominated us. So we haven't been telling people until right now.
No, that's okay.
So
you still have so much time. So everybody should go vote anyways. It's so fun to do a survey on your favorite food. So vote for Pokeberry on the top place to win a booth for free for Taste of Atlanta this year.
Well, sweet. Yeah, so, definitely do that.
Yeah, come vote for us. And you can always follow us at Pokeberry and see what kind of weird stuff we're making this week. I think this week we have some fried peanut butter and jelly. And then upcoming is, again, Burger Week. So we're doing Asian burgers for the first time.
What's an Asian burger?
Right now we have a Korean barbecue burger and fried Brussels sprouts with sweet chili sauce. And it's tastes really good so far. I've been eating a lot of them.
Sounds incredible.
Sounds really good. Yeah. Well, thank you guys all so much for a great episode today. Thanks for everyone for stopping by the studio and for another great episode of Culinary Atlanta.